On this Feast of the Holy Family, the Church wants to teach us again and rejoice in this gift that God has given us, the gift of the family, because it truly is a gift from God. And all the battles and all the attempts to redefine it or to challenge it can really be addressed in one thing. Oftentimes, when we see the battle in our culture that we face, removing religious symbols in public like the Ten Commandments or a crucifix, it seems to be the will of some to drive Christ out of the market square or out of the cinema or out of the media. Well, the same can be said for the family. There is a strong desire by many to drive Christ out of the family. But all we have to do is look at the church's art and see how the family is shaped. When you look at the nativity scene over there, you recognize that all of us have been invited to come and worship the Lord. All of us stand around the Lord. And when you look at Mary and Joseph, in the majority of the art, there are some exceptions, but in the majority, Mary and Joseph aren't looking at each other. They're not looking at the shepherds or the wise men. They're looking at Jesus. And that gives us the first and foremost model, I believe, of man and wife, of mother and father, that their first and primary gaze must be upon Jesus. And once they see him, then they see one another, because they see that they have been brought together by God for God's purposes, for their holiness, for their glory, and for God's glory. And out of that glory comes the fullness of life in children. But again, we focus back on Christ. And I see it many, many times as a confessor and as one who worked in hospitals and worked with sick children. And we see a terrible situation, a tragedy of a family that's lost its identity. And I believe it's lost its identity because it's lost Christ. The world itself is so busy, so preoccupied with stuff and other things that we don't see the reason that we're here. We don't see who created us and why God created us and what God wants us to accomplish. You know, the Holy Family is holy because they looked at Christ, they served Christ, they worshiped Christ. And out of that came the gift of the Holy Spirit. It came the gift of the church. It came the power of the sacraments and the teaching of Christ that has come down to us to this day, not to make life difficult on us. We make life difficult ourselves by the foolish choices we sometimes make. But Christ has given us the church as a family of faith, that we can know the way, that we can be bound together in charity. St. Paul says, above everything else, put on love. But before you can love the Lord and before you can share that love, you must have faith in the Lord. And one of the things I do when I have a baptism and I preach at the child's baptism, I remind the parents. And I say this till I'm blue in the face, and I'll still be saying it even if I can't breathe, and that is, mothers and fathers, your primary obligation is not just to give them your good looks and your intelligence and your possessions. Your primary gift and the gift that they are carrying with them from this life is your faith. Your trust in God, your dependence on the Lord. The Lord has given you this tremendous life, this tremendous mystery, this tremendous love. And when we see all of that before us, all we can do is, Holy Moses, how am I going to do this? I promise complete fidelity to my spouse for the rest of my life, to love her and to honor her and to cherish her and to help her grow in holiness, to give everything I have to her, to be servant to her, to be subordinate to her. And she has done it to me. And we have children with many needs. They got to go to the dentist. They got to have this. They got to have that. How in the world can I do it? And many people don't understand. The answer does not lie in working more hours or making more choices. It lies first and foremost in saying, God, you have given me this gift. It's a gift of tremendous value. But this gift is costing something of me, quite a lot, thank you, and I need your help. I need your help because the kids aren't staying asleep all night. I need your help because I got teenagers. That's enough help for anybody right there. I need your help because our children have lost our way, and no matter how much we have loved them, no matter how much we have brought them to you, in this battle between Joseph and Herod, because remember, Herod is one who seeks to destroy life. Herod had one goal, destroy the Holy Family. Joseph had one goal, preserve the Holy Family. And Joseph is the guardian of the church. We believe that. And in this struggle, to pass on our faith as a heritage more valuable, more precious than silver or gold or anything, the family is holy because Christ is at the center. And fathers and mothers, to the extent that you pray for your children every day, that you love them, that you pray for each other, then the bond of love deepens. Then the power of forgiveness can overtake you. Then mercy becomes something that's the norm, not the exception. Then we can begin to live as Christ has asked us to live, as servants. If you love someone, you serve them. And whether it's the letter to the Colossians or the letter to the Ephesians, those letters oftentimes, when we talk about the relation of husband and wife, drives a lot of people, gets a lot of them, let's just say, worked up. But if we look at the essence of the Christian faith, and that is service must be practiced and must be taught. And that, parents, if you share your faith with your children and show them the importance of God and pray with them and pray for them and show them by your service and love for them that you are preparing them to serve and love others, first and foremost, you. You know, that's the key, that if they're not taught to serve, they're not going to serve. And if we're not taught to serve, then what are we going to teach our children? It's clear that the family is such beauty. You know, oftentimes we think about the family, we think about it in very small terms. The Old Testament doesn't. The Old Testament says the family is a living, breathing body. You know, the husband and the wife come together, and in the eyes of the church, they are no longer two individuals. They are one couple. And from that one couple springs this whole new being, this living, breathing being that we call a family of a mother and father and children. And that family, that being needs life. It needs an environment in which it can foster, in which it can blossom, in which it can grow, so that when that body meets its challenges, it will find a strength from God. We often think ourselves as a family. The Jewish people thought of themselves as a tribe, the 12 tribes. Well, a family is a tribe, a little bit smaller tribe than the 12 tribes, but we have a communion of heart. See, that's the beauty. This is what the Lord has showed us in Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and this is what, as the church, we're seeking to always give to each other. A family is not a bunch of individuals. It's a communion of mind, of heart, of soul. And when that communion is strong, when it is encouraged daily by forgiving, by generosity, by patience, by listening, by being heard, then you'll see fruits. And that's a secret that shouldn't be a secret anymore. But it is a secret in this world, and it's a tragedy, because when we look at the state of the family life, can we blame the culture? No, we blame ourselves, because we each have made choices to live in certain ways, to accomplish certain things, to have a certain outcome. God only has one outcome for us. He wants us with Him. And so as I tell parents, after I say the first and most precious gift you give is your faith, the second thing I say is their most important destination is heaven. Show them the way. Make the way possible. That's what makes a family holy. You know, broken families today seem to be the norm. But a broken family can be a holy family. We can rededicate ourselves to Christ. In the events of life and the choices we make, these things break. They have wounds. But coming to Christ will bring healing. Coming to Christ will give new energy and a new purpose and a new vigor. And this is the beauty of this feast we see. Because even Mary and Joseph had to flee to a foreign land as refugees. They cared for Christ. And they went the extra mile for their child, who is also our brother. And they said, what we have done for him, now you do for each other. You do for your family. Care for their souls as much as you care for their bodies. Love their faith, encourage their faith as much as you encourage their work or their sports or their talents. In the end, I believe that's how we will be judged. As a priest, I think I'll be judged. To what extent did you share the faith of Christ? Did you practice forgiveness and mercy and compassion? How well did you celebrate my sacraments? How many people were you able to reach by your action? But as parents, I think your judgment will be based on, have you helped your children get ready for heaven? Have you served them and taught them and encouraged them? And even if they wandered away and you prayed for them to come back, what have you done for them? Not physically, but what have you done to strengthen their soul? And so we come tonight, both you and me, to have our soul strengthened in this body of the church, in this living, breathing reality of the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we receive again Jesus' body and blood so that our hearts can be strengthened. Our faith and hope and charity will be deepened. And so that when people see us, they will see us truly as a family, a living, breathing communion of love for each other, suffering for each other, serving each other, being joyful with each other. And we pray someday, being in heaven together with each other.